This is Popular Front, a podcast focused on the niche details of modern warfare and underreported conflict with me, Jake Hanrahan. Today we're speaking to journalist Sergei Slipchenko. He's also a personal friend of mine. I've just been out there working with him in Ukraine literally 4 days ago. Now Russia has invaded Ukraine. They've hit the country from every border, all different directions. They're hitting civilian targets as well. It's a very bad situation. Sergei's literally had to just flee his home, but he hit me up and was like, let's do this. Let's talk about what's going on the ground. So thank you very much to Sergei. Listen to what he's got to say. If you want to support us, please do so at patreon.com/popularfront. So how's the situation?
I mean, pretty serious, I think, more than what anyone expected.
So it's looking like the worst has happened. Russia has launched a full-on invasion into Ukraine. Can you just kind of talk us through, you know, what happened, how it happened, from what you know?
So basically, I think it was 5 a.m. Kiev time when Putin announced, I forget what he called it, like a special operation in eastern Ukraine. After that, shortly, several military points were struck throughout Ukraine, from Ivano-Frankivsk in the west, all the way to Odessa in the south, the port city. And then Kiev, I think Kharkiv, Chernihiv, just a bunch of cities were hit again with missile or airstrikes. It's not sure which ones exactly, but I think it was a mix. And then right now there's martial law. There's sirens all over Kiev. People are hiding in metros. There's supposed to be more bombings. There's advancing from all fronts. It seems like from Crimea, from the east, and from Belarus and Russia from the north.
Jesus. And I just read that there's fighting around Chernobyl, around the fallout zone, right?
I think there was a city just outside of Chernihiv that was taken, a city in Kharkiv that was captured. Forgot the name. They just got captured, and the government body there was told to kind of keep running things, but it's under Russian control. There's fighting around Chernobyl. There's conflicting reports, but it seems like a city near Kiev, an hour away from Kiev or so, that's either under or about to be under Russian control. There's continued fighting. There's continued bombings. It's been much more concentrated in the fighting areas. From what I understand, cities like Ivano-Frankivsk in the west hasn't been hit since the initial attack. All fronts seem to be fighting.
Right. And obviously Russia has said, oh, we're just hitting strategic military targets. We've seen plenty of civilians already being hit. They've hit apartment blocks. There's footage has just come out of Russia launching airstrikes on civilian areas, children crying, all sorts. What do you think the plan is here for Russia? What do you think they're up to here? Obviously, you know, it's a full-scale invasion. They want to wreck the place. But it does seem like they're going to go all the way. What do you think?
It seems like the narrative that they're spinning for, at least for their audience at home, is that it's just military. They're just hitting military points. They're only trying to, demilitarize Ukraine, is what they're saying. But there's clear evidence of strikes hitting nowhere near military points, some areas of Kiev that are completely removed from any military bases or anything. It seems like the current plan was kind of to strike hard and strike fast. I think they're trying to get Ukraine to surrender and sign some kind of peace treaty. The Ukrainian government has said that the plan seems to be to remove the current government and install like a puppet government, sign a treaty, and call it a day. But that means that Russia would take Kiev at the moment. They are moving in on Kiev. They are moving closer. But it's hard to imagine that it's going to go over so quickly. I mean, it's hard to say. This morning was a surprise, right? Who knows what's going to happen? Mm. But I think the end goal for Putin is to change the government, sign some kind of treaty, and kind of look like, oh, you know, we protect ourselves from invader, and now we made peace.
Yeah, and the government in Ukraine, Zelensky, he's basically said anybody with a passport can, you know, join, can get a gun. I've been speaking to friends in Ukraine. People are just joining up right away. I even spoke to the anarchist Revdia unit this morning, and they were like, I spoke to one of the main lads, and he was like, we're in a taxi, we've formed a unit, we've got guns, and we're going to fight right now. Azov, the far right groups have joined, doing the same sort of thing. You know, everyday civilians are doing the same sort of thing. What do you think's going to be the, you know, the situation in terms of like resistance there?
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, you're already seeing people moving out of Kyiv and out of parts of Ukraine towards the west. But I mean, obviously there's going to be a mix. At the same time, you're seeing a lot of people online and social media saying that they're forming groups, they're meeting in predesignated places, they're distributing weapons. Like you said, anybody with a passport and can have a gun, basically. That's why I think it's going to be very difficult to take Kyiv. You know, even in my opinion, even if the government folds and surrenders in some way, there's going to be a lot of resistance. I just find it hard to believe that Ukrainians would just give up easily. There's a lot of outcries for, you know, for people to form groups, which they've been practicing for, training for. There's a lot of civil movement for civil resistance that's going to happen and is currently happening. You know, it's not going to be as simple as I think Russia believes that they will just roll in and be able to overpower Ukraine. I mean, they might be able to overpower conventional forces, but I believe there's going to be a lot of resistance from everyday folks, just like you said, different groups, just civilians protecting their neighborhoods or their even buildings, you know, and there's going to be a lot of resistance.
Yeah, and we were working together less than a week ago now on the ground in Ukraine. I kind of feel bad the fact that I'm not there anymore, but, you know, I came back, had family stuff to do and had to edit this doc. But we were there filming with the civilian or the citizen militias, basically, you know, a paramilitary that the government sanctioned just in case all of this happened. Have they all been called up now? Like they're all being sent out or, you know, asked to do their bit?
Yeah, they're mobilizing, you know, some people are just by themselves are just, like I said, forming groups and kind of like, I guess you can call tactical groups. The government has called all reserves. I haven't seen exactly what for, but they said that they're mobilizing them. You know, I think it's going to be like the ones with less experience is going to be more civil kind of assistance. And then some will probably be taking positions around Kyiv, around Ukraine, wherever it needs to be sent. I mean, there's no details on it. I think the government wants to keep that kind of, you know, hush-hush for obvious reasons. But yeah, the reservists have been called upon. And I don't know if specifically the Territorial Defense Force has been mobilized, like have been called to the front or something. But it's all being mobilized and put into the field in some capacity.
Right. And there's been fighting around the Kyiv airport. I think one of them has been hit with a rocket from Russia. How serious is the fighting in the capital right now?
The capital itself, I mean, there's Kyiv City and then there's Kyiv Oblast. Kyiv City is, while large, it's mostly like the outskirts of Kyiv and then the Kyiv City itself. So there's no fighting there. As far as I can tell, there has been bombs falling. Boryspil Airport, well, the largest airport in Ukraine, has reportedly been, I think, 5 rockets hit it. A bunch of smaller airports around Ukraine have been hit. Gostomel, which is has a military airport as well, has been hit. But the fighting is more contained to the north at the moment. Still some away from Kyiv, but, I mean, much closer than I think anybody would have imagined. It's hard to get reports from there. There's not a lot of video coming out. There's photos from residents and, like, you know, whatever comes out on social media. But reports are coming out that Ukrainian army is currently fighting. There's no, like, mass surrender or, like, major failure of the army yet. They are fighting back, and their reports are coming out of, you know, like, this many helicopters have been shut down, this many planes have been shut down, this many Russians have been captured, a lot of things like this are coming out. I think we're going to see more info maybe tomorrow or the end of the day about more concrete situation of the ground forces. But right now it's kind of piece by piece that it's coming in over time.
Right. And So you obviously had to essentially flee Kiev. You know, you have kids, you have a family. Tell us about that. What was that like this morning?
So basically I woke up at, I think it was like 5 a.m. I couldn't even really tell why. I just kind of woke up and I was like sitting up looking at my phone and all I see is the news, you know, Putin announced special operation in Ukraine. And I was like, okay. Then I started looking around at the news, started hearing what sounded like explosions, but, you know, couldn't tell. I think it was almost like hard to believe. Then I went looked out my window and the entire highway, I live right by the highway that leads out of Ukraine towards Lviv. The entire highway was covered in cars driving out of Kiev. That's kind of when I realized like, okay, yeah, it's just going down and people are leaving as fast as they can. There's definitely a mix though, you know, seeing the highway was like, oh shit, like everybody's running away. But then seeing posts from the city, from downtown, all around the parts of Kiev, there are a bunch of people staying. You know, armies doing what they can, civilians are doing what they can. It's a good mix. But anyway, we just packed our bags, got what we could, and luckily got a Uber to drive us and drove out to my grandparents. At the moment, it seems like there's going to be airstrikes at Kiev. So, I mean, it seems like the right decision to just, you know, have to get my family out first. But I mean, who knows? It's hard to tell. We don't know if we're coming back soon. We don't know if it's going to be, you know, like a couple of days, if it's going to be in a couple of months. We're just kind of hoping for the best now.
Jesus Christ. I'm so sorry that's happening to you, mate. It's just awful. What's the government saying right now? I mean, I know it's very hard for information to really be kind of put out there due to the fact there's ongoing attacks all over the country right now. But what's the, you know, what's the stance from Zelensky right now?
You know, he's saying try not to panic. You know, he's saying like it's a serious time, but try to remain calm. They're saying like stay at home or take cover in shelters, like specifically for Kiev. They're saying that like Ukraine's doing their best to kind of repel the attack, and they're really asking for foreign assistance, you know, sanctions, weapons, whatever people can offer. For the most part, it's like a keep calm, and but it's clearly like chaotic and frantic for the government as well. Like they're reacting as they go.
Right. So I guess everybody's just sort of braced for what's going to happen tonight, I guess. Has there been any indication that Russia might, you know, step back, maybe do some kind of diplomacy, or what? Is it just seeing full pelt from them?
I mean, I don't see the current government kind of, you know, I just don't see how they could negotiate with Putin. I mean, he straight up attacked civilian points and civilian cities. And I mean, there is a chance that the government will kind of succumb to it and maybe see it as like a no way out situation and try to negotiate. I mean, Putin said he's willing to negotiate, but it just kind of looks like, just kind of seems like a cover up, like, oh, you know, I'm the one trying to be like, I'm trying to be diplomatic here, you know, and I don't think he's actually meaning to be. I mean, it seems like he wants to get some kind of forced treaty like Minsk 3.0 at this point, and just kind of try to crush Ukraine's army, try his best to just kind of cut up the country and really put down on his knees. I don't think he's going to stop where he is now and try to negotiate. I think he knows that it would be difficult. And I think he's maybe kind of trying to beat Ukraine down before real sanctions and real like repercussions come in.
Yeah, I unfortunately think you're right. I think the speed at which he's hit so many strategic targets all over the country. I mean, if you look at a map, it's just the whole country, left to right, you know, north to south, the whole place. I think you're right. And from what I've heard so far, you know, NATO has said they're going to do sanctions and whatever. But it doesn't seem that sanctions are really, really bothering Russia. What do you think the kind of international community can do to help Ukraine right now?
I mean, of course, you know, as much as we'd want NATO to help physically, like militarily, I understand why they probably won't. I think there's a lot of things they can do, kind of go for sanctions that do matter much more, because, you know, right now they're kind of targeting. I mean, there are good sanctions, but I think they know they can do more, and they could definitely hit more of, you know, Putin himself, his really close allies and stuff. I think maybe one way to stop this would be to make those around Putin to kind of pay for his actions. Maybe they'll, I don't know. I mean, a lot of scenarios what they could do, but maybe that would help make him like back down a bit. Weapons, you know, more weapons. And I mean, the best option would be kind of some kind of closed airspace, maybe help Ukraine in that sense, because Ukraine definitely struggles with the Air Force and with closing off the skies. It's hard to say. I mean, like, there's a lot of things you want them to do, but politically, you know, they're not gonna. So it's difficult to say what exactly they could do.
And what are your plans going forward? Like, I think you represent, you know, your average kind of person in Ukraine who's just trying to live their life, do what they're doing, and has now had to kind of be uprooted. What are your plans going forward? What do you think, you know, the situation is going to be like?
Yeah, it's difficult, you know, like we're thinking like, is it better to stay put and kind of wait it out? Is it better to head west? It's difficult. I think it's like this confusion of what's happening, what to do is really difficult to deal with. You know, it's also like money, like things we need to leave behind. It's so many factors that it's hard to say what we're going to do. It's like we have working plans and, you know, in theory, but then like what's going to happen? Like we were thinking to go to Poland, but now we're looking at reports that it might take several days for people to like, just, it's an 8-hour trip right now to Poland, like, you know, in a regular day. But today there's reports that it's going to take 4 days or more to cross from Kyiv to Lviv and then to Poland. So Jesus. It's difficult to say, you know, we were driving out of Kyiv and, you know, along the roads from Kyiv to, this is just like, I'm an hour out of Kyiv, yeah. You know, it took us 4 hours to get here. Literally every single gas station is either shut down. I mean, I don't know why it's shut down. Some people are saying because it's out of gas. It's either shut down or there's massive, massive lines. People just fueling up cars, fueling up canisters, you know, doing what they can. Massive lines at grocery stores. We went to like a small store, like in this village where my grandparents, and the shelves are empty. There's no bread, no like what are they called? No grains, you know, rice. And we asked, like, is something going to come in? You know, people are saying, who knows? Who knows when it's going to come, if it's going to come? It's clearly like, you know, it's not a priority right now when Russia's like breathing down Kyiv's neck. And it's hard to say. It's hard to say, like, there's no concrete plan of what's the best or easiest or safest route to take.
Jesus Christ. And that's just day one, like.
Yeah, I mean, this is day one and already stores are being emptied and stuff. Not sure how it is in Kyiv in terms of that. I mean, it might be better, you know, better supplied in a way, but it's definitely taking a toll on people. But I mean, at the same time, from what I'm hearing, a lot of people are still like, they're not, nobody's like saying like, we should surrender, we should give in. There's still like a spirit of, we need to fight, we need to give, we can't give in and we need to resist, you know. That's also kind of encouraging because I don't think Putin can drag this out too long, you know, with how quickly they're advancing. A lot of experts are saying this is kind of like a blitzkrieg tactic to kind of shock and awe Kyiv, you know, the government specifically, make them surrender and quickly get, you know, as much as they can in terms of like, you know, whatever they want, whatever their goals are. There's, you know, some thought that like, if this drags out, the forces won't be able to maintain their positions and that Ukrainian army will be able to fight back, you know, they're on their own soil. There's a lot of men willing to fight, you know. I think if this drags out, it might be very costly for Russia. I think that's the current plan of, I mean, like not officially, but I think that might be kind of the idea of what Ukraine can do. It's drag it out as long as it can, make it as costly as bloody for Russia, and hope that some way it either helps prevent it or maybe helps it back off and have a easier time negotiating some kind of peace.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you're right. The way he's gone in so fast, it does seem like a blitzkrieg. At the same time, if they then try to start occupying cities like Kyiv, Kharkiv, I mean, we've already seen in Kharkiv there are literal resistance units gathering, militias forming already, guys driving around with grenades, firearms in their cars. I know a friend of mine is out there right now. He was just telling me about it. So it does look like the people are going to resist. Like you said, it depends, you know, how long that will last for and what kind of impact that will have on Russia. What do you want the world to know? Like, if you had one thing, just let people know about this situation. What do you want people to know?
I think the most important thing is don't let Putin get away with this. You know, it's only encouraging him. Clearly, in 2014, he came in, did what he wanted, and there were basically no repercussions. I think this kind of attack on a democracy, or, you know, any country, like people try to justify that Ukraine's corrupt, and I don't know what kind of point they're trying to make. Like, Ukraine is a vying democracy. They're trying to, you know, develop themselves and become part of the free world, part of the West. And I think for other nations who are trying to overcome these kind of barriers, it would be extremely, extremely discouraging to see that, you know, trying to do the right thing, trying to become a democratic country is kind of not rewarding, you know. I think what Putin's afraid of most is seeing a successful Ukraine, kind of like a model for what Russia could be. I think that's what he's afraid of. So I think the West cannot leave Ukraine behind, whether that means, you know, more arms, more financial assistance, sanctions against Russia, and anything they can do to show the world that people can't get away with this, that that there is a price to pay for actions like this. I think that's what's important here. You know, Ukraine's going to hold out as long as they can. And it's up to the West, I think, to give a decisive response to Putin. And I don't want to be dramatic, but, you know, kind of like, I think democracy is being defended in Ukraine here. I know, like, you know, most of Europe probably won't be majorly affected. Most of North America probably won't be affected at all. But I think we're entering an age where countries that are paralleling US are coming to power. You know, China, Russia, they're building an alliance of authoritarian regimes. And I think this is, I think Ukraine is like a bastion of freedom right now that the world needs to see as being defended and is being supported by the West.
Good luck out there, mate. And if you need anything, do not hesitate. Just give me a shout and we'll try and help you any way we can. Where can people find your work, Sergi? Where can they, you know, keep track of what's going on or get in contact with you?
Yeah, so we have an amazing team at the Kyiv Independent. It's at Kyiv Independent on Twitter. And from there, you can find our website, our Telegram, all our socials. They're doing great work. You know, most of them are sitting in Kyiv's bomb shelters right now, writing up spots and writing up news updates. They're doing great work. Myself, I'm at Serge Slip 1 on Twitter. You can follow me there. But yeah, like, you know, besides that, I think even like any individual donating or kind of spreading information about Ukraine, you know, Russia's disinformation machine is like in full effect. I think even, you know, retweeting, reposting things, as insignificant as it may seem, I think it could help in the long run, you know. So definitely don't forget to do that. And any support is appreciated.
Excellent, mate. Good luck out there, man. And just keep in touch. Yeah. That was Ukrainian journalist Sergei Slipchenko. He's just telling us about the situation on the ground now that Russia has invaded Ukraine and is targeting civilians as well as military infrastructure. It's a bad situation, but Sergei took the time to speak to us. Definitely check out the Kyiv Independent. That's what he was just talking about. That's who he works for. Completely independent media platform in Ukraine. You can support them on patreon.com/Kyiv Independent. That's the proper way of spelling it. K-Y-I-V Independent. If you want to support them, do so. Also, there's a link going round if you want to support people in Ukraine. It's savelife.in.ua/donate. A friend of mine who is literally currently in her basement due to shelling in her area. She lives in a residential block and there was, rocket strikes near there, so they're all in the basement. She was telling me that that is definitely a reliable one, and I know her, she's reliable, so hopefully that is a reliable one, but maybe double check it yourself. But yeah, I've heard it's on point. savelife.in.ua/donate. If you want to support Popular Front, please do so at patreon.com/popularfront.
Slow-o-burn.